Welcome to the Generation for Change, a podcast brought to you by the committee members of G4C Southwest, part of Constructing Excellence. My name is Josh Hodder, and I'll be your host for today's podcast as I chat to Michael Baker, a senior planner at Arup.
Hi there, it's really great to be here. Thanks for having me.
In our last podcast, Niall Wellington interviewed Sam Carter, director of E.G. Carter & Co., to understand more about his role as a leader within the industry and discuss his thoughts on the future of construction. I wanted to speak to you today to find out a bit more about the role of a planner and how your work can influence the future, places that we work, live, and have a direct impact on what's built next. Let's start with you telling us a bit about the early days. At what point you knew this was the job for you?
I think it actually goes back quite a long way with me. Maybe a little bit sadly, but like, you know, I remember I was always interested in history and geography and architecture. I was lucky that when we were walking around Doncaster town centre when I was a kid, my mum taught me to look up above the shops and look at the history of the buildings and think about things that aren't just in front of you. And I've always been interested in people and why they work the way they work. And so I was lucky to have a geography teacher in sixth form point out the town planning to me as a potential profession. And then I did an internship when I was 17 at Doncaster Council Town Planning Department, and then studied town planning as a degree at Newcastle. I was always attracted by the fact it was vocational, and that, you know, I was able to leave university with a degree that was leading into a profession and a chartered institute. And so, yeah, it's been quite a long road for me in terms of town planning, and I still really enjoy it today. And then in terms of getting into infrastructure, I think I can actually blame the Great Recession on that a little bit, because when I graduated, there was a placement year in my university course, the fourth year. And for that placement year, there was no jobs going. Half of the planners were unfortunately lost at that time, which is why we still have a shortage to this day. But I managed to get a spot at the Infrastructure Planning Commission in Bristol, which was administering what was then the new Planning Act 2008, which is still in place. And I was able to take up that job, and then that led me into a field in infrastructure. And I really liked the scale of the projects and dealing with a lot of people that are interested in the consultation aspect of it, that the need for a consultation that was the first time that it was enshrined in law at pre-application stage. So, yeah, it's been quite the journey, and I've just stuck with that.
And so how would you describe your current role then? What you do at the moment?
So my current role is quite specifically, so I'm a principal town planner at Arup, and I help clients I specialise in development consent orders, which is what you need to build anything that's considered nationally significant as a piece of infrastructure. And it's my job to help clients and do on behalf of clients their application. And within that, there's a lot of, I've mentioned the pre-application consultation requirements, and there's a lot of need for consultation from the inception of a project right up to its submission to the planning inspectorate and beyond. And so I can help manage the consultation and the engagement that's needed to get to a good DC application. I'm the planning and consultation lead for East West Rail, which is a new railway between Bedford and Cambridge. And we've had a non-statutory consultation on that in March, and I wrote the first draft of the consultation materials, which was given to the communications team to polish up, but you know, that came from my hand, and we helped to manage the consultation, met with a lot of people, and obviously with the pandemic that was difficult, and doing it on Teams, it would have been a lot nicer to be in person. It was very difficult meeting the people on Teams and not what you, it would have been nicer in person, but yeah. And then now we're planning for the announcement and delivering the next stage of consultation, all leading up to the DCO application. So it really is that leadership on DCOs that I bring to the table, and understanding the process and making sure that the other teams are producing things that are leading into the process and not just working in silos, because everything needs to tie up when you get to consultation or when you get to DCO application.
Brilliant. And I suppose other people who may not be familiar with how projects are developed might look at large projects and just think they're going to happen no matter what. So do you get the impression that the consultation and engagement with the communities and people who are affected has a material influence on the projects and how they're developed?
I think it's really important. Yeah, I mean, I think it really does. I really wish people could come into the office and see, because I think people are cynical about consultation sometimes, and I can understand why, because it's been done badly in the past. But with the Planning Act 2008 and the way that the industry has shifted over the last 10 years with early consultation and early engagement, I wish they could come into the office and watch the debates that we have about their words that they have put on a page, and, you know, and see the influence that it does have on the project. I think, you know, when you're building a piece of nationally significant infrastructure, it's happening within a policy framework where the government has said this is needed, we have to do this, and so there's always that difficulty of like it being actually needed and the project having to happen because it's a matter of national significance. However, getting people involved early and allowing them to shape the design and assessment of the scheme and minimise how it affects them is really, really important. And as I say, I wish they could see that we do take it very seriously. And we've been in the room together, Josh, doing just that, haven't we? So, you know,
yeah, and absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, okay. No, brilliant. Well, what would you say is a favourite thing about your role?
I think it is. I think it's the people. I think it's both... it's both the people that I work with within ARIP, but also when you get on the project team and you're working with a client, and if you're in a good team and sharing those sort of ups and downs together, and really being, I like to think of it a bit like I guess it's how actors feel when they do a run of a play, in terms of like, you know, you have a really intense period with some people. And, you know, you share the ups and downs, and you celebrate together, and you commiserate together, and you get the gallows, you know, you get the gallows humour about issues that are happening on the project. And I really like that. But then I also really like working with the public and really trying to understand how they can help shape the project, and how this thing that is needed nationally can be shaped by them and their opinion, and how they can be part of the process. And I really do like meeting the public. I think it's I've met some really, really nice people, even the ones that are, you know, frustrated or angry. I do want to understand where they're coming from. So I think that's really it's about people. And I think, you know, you touched on it earlier, I think there is a tendency to think that these projects do just happen. But they don't happen without the people, both the people that are designing and executing them, but also the public that take part in the process as well.
I suppose the construction industry as a whole, a lot of people starting out in the industry would look at it and they probably wouldn't consider the role of a planner as part of the industry. You automatically jump to the people who are out on the ground physically undertaking works, but we all know there's a lot more to it than that. What advice would you give to others starting out in the industry at the moment?
I think it is having that wider view that you've touched on, and think about all of the things, as you say, not just thinking about the construction stage, but all of the things that lead to that construction stage, and asking why, like, you know, why is the site here? Why is the construction compound here? Like, why have we ended up in the place that the contractor, you know, effectively inherits? Like, why have those decisions been made? And I think, you know, if someone's interested in town planning, then, you know, if someone's interested in town planning and they always find themselves in a situation where, you know, they quite like having an overview of things and quite like seeing the whole picture, then they might quite be suited to town planning. And if they are quite curious and are asking why, then that's good. In terms of actual practical tips, you know, work hard, work with integrity, be kind, try and make friends in the industry. Like, you know, it's not the apprentice, you know, it's not the SAS. It's a nice industry to working in it. And it's some, you know, a project where people are getting on and like each other is a lot more effective than one that don't. And experience is always hard to is always hard to, it's that classic thing of, you know, not having the experience to gain the experience, but really experience is a really good thing, and any experience that you can get, but use that experience and think of it in a wider context, like about your role and what others are doing, and try and learn everything you can about what everybody's doing, and ask why they're doing it.
I suppose there's a big question now, but I know it's something that's quite close to your heart as a planner, thinking long term. Society as a whole is really waking up to the concept of sustainability and carbon reduction. How does this impact the way that you operate and make decisions?
Certainly within AREP, it's something that drives every decision. We are governed by the Sustainable Development Goals, and we make, when we decide whether or not to bid on a project or to accept a project, we assess that project against those goals. And, you know, it's something which we are always trying to embed in our decision-making, and then also spread that to our clients' decision making and across the industry. Like, it has to be the most fundamental thing. I don't think that you can answer it after the fact, if that makes sense. You can't answer, you have to embed sustainability and carbon reduction at the very outset of a project. It has to be one of the central things against which you make decisions and against which you assess things. And if something isn't going to contribute to sustainability or carbon reduction, then you have to change your project to accommodate that, rather than the other way, rather than having it so you do your project and then try and put some sort of, you know, greenwashing on at the end. And I think it is, you know, as consultants, we are responsive to our clients and their needs and their instructions. But obviously we shape those things as well. And it's something which the market does need to reflect that as well. You know, we're not the ones that are going to be able to put electric cars on the road, but we can, or that's going to make everyone buy an electric car, but we can build the roads so that when everyone does buy an electric car, they work. Yeah.
Absolutely. And have you found there's been a change in the industry's approach to sustainability and environmental awareness over the past few years, or at least since you've been in the industry?
Yeah, I mean, I've been here 10 years, and so I've got 10 years experience now. And I think I do think it has crept in. It's always been there for me. It's always been there. You know, when I left university, climate change was a really big issue back in 2010. It's not something that's new. I do think the climate crisis, as it's become more urgent and as we've started to see the effects of climate change in quite scary ways, I do think that instead of it being, oh, we'll just comply, we've complied because we've done this, I've seen it do what I was saying before in terms of creep more and more into that decision-making process and more early in projects, and being given a lot more weight than it used to. It was always there, but certainly over the last 5 years, had a lot more weight given to it, which is positive.
Absolutely. When things don't go to plan, and projects that you've worked on are parked or refused permissions, do you find it hard not to take that personally?
I'm assuming this question if it's not my fault.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Out of your hands.
Yeah, out of my hands. I think at AREP, there's a bit more distance, in terms of being a consultant rather than the client. But no, it would still, you know, if we hadn't have got consent for A30, that would have felt horrible. If the government pulls funding for things, then that's horrible. I think where I felt it most acutely was actually before I joined AREP, because I worked at Tide Lagoon Power, which built, Tide Lagoon Swansea Bay, but we did get consent for it, and it was a very, very tough 2 years. And I gave everything to that because I really believed in it. Gave everything to that project and to that company, and my team there, who I'm still in contact with and still good friends with. Like, we went through a lot together, and then to get to consent and to have the backing of the government because it looked good in an election campaign, and then for them not, and then what happened was that the government didn't agree the strike price for electricity, which was what the minimum that TLP would have got paid for the electricity to allow the plant to run. And so the whole thing just fell to pieces. And I'm sure, you know, I have to caveat that I'm sure there's other things that's gone on. And Tide Lagoon Power, I'm not speaking on behalf of them, obviously. Like, they would have a different take on the story. But it was very, very hard, having got through that consenting process, given so much of my personal and professional life to it. And then for it not to happen is very, that I took very personally. As I say, there's a bit more distance when you're a consultant, but it goes back to what I was saying about the people and the team. Like, you know, you go through these highs and lows together, and that's the most important thing, and why it's most important to have a strong team that does enjoy those things.
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose even if you're a consultant, you're still putting in your own, you're still putting in time and effort, aren't you? And it must be quite difficult to.
Yeah, it's only a bit of distance. Like, you know, it's only a tiny bit of distance compared to when I was a client, and it's only because I've got the comparison. But yeah, I mean, it's really hard. Like, you know, you do put everything into it, and you really want it to happen. If it doesn't, I think I'm quite lucky at Arapin that I don't think there has been a project that's not gone ahead. But you know, if I was in some of the roads that have been challenged and successfully challenged, like, I can imagine that what their team must feel like, having put all of that into all of that work into it, and then to have it crushed at the final hurdle it would be galling. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I suppose you mentioned earlier on that you've been in the industry for 10 years, so quite a long time. So what do the next 10 years look like for you?
I think it's progressing into leadership, and, you know, really leading and making decisions on projects, and, you know, really bringing my knowledge and experience that I've built over the last 10 years and skills. And I'm quite lucky, having worked, so I started off at the planning inspectorate before I joined Tide Lagoon Power, then I joined Arup. So I've seen all three sides of the construction sector, if you like, the regulator, the developer, and the consultant. Mm-hmm. And so I think the next 10 years are progressing to leadership. And, you know, I want to work on the biggest projects and do the biggest DCOs and, you know, do all of that. So I not just the biggest, but also the most innovative. Like, you know, energy is obviously a huge focus at the time that we're talking. There's a need to rebalance the grid and remove dependency on things. So what I will say is, one of the nice things about being a town planner is that you're sort of what we call sector agnostic, like, you know, so I don't specialize in roads or railways or you know, gas-fired power stations, but I can do all of them. So sure, like, sure. I can't only do one type of project. And I think that's what keeps it really interesting. And I think that's why, you know, the next 10 years we'll be leading on DCO projects, but in different sectors. For example, I was currently working on a desalination plant, well, a potential desalination plant, like, you know, and if I was to work on that, then I'd have to learn about desalination after learning all about roads with you, and after learning all about lagoons before that. So I think that's what keeps it interesting, you know, and carrying on with that leadership over the next 10 years, I think, is where I'll be.
Sounds exciting. Well, thanks so much for your time today. And I suppose we've got one final question that we always ask. If you have to describe the industry in three words, what would they be?
Exciting, innovative. It's also, and this is the word that I can't think of, so I'm going to use more words, it's also got a lot of attention to detail. Sorry, that wasn't three words.
No, that's absolutely fine. No, brilliant. Well, thanks ever so much for your time. It's been great talking to you, and hope to see you soon.
Great. I hope to see you too. Yeah, you too, Josh. Yeah, I'll see you soon.